The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. Now, in its 28th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor. And while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Welcome back. You're listening to AM 690, Dr. Health Radio program. This is Dr. Kevin Gibson filling in. We have coming up in about 4 minutes, Adita Lang. She is the author of Superpowers, A Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness. She has some good life experience and has been through a lot and has figured out how to make the most out of taking care of herself and managing life in a vital way, I think. So I think it's always good to hear stories about how people manage and what they go through, and we can all learn from each other. So please stay tuned for that. So I've got a few minutes here, and I just want you to know that, again, these peptides are available through compounding pharmacies. I can prescribe them. They are, I think, pretty darn affordable given their impact and their use. And administration can be anything from oral to creams to subcutaneous injections like you do with insulin and other types of injection means. But it's like intramuscular. But, pretty exciting stuff. And I just kind of want to go over some of the targets. And I know this is a long list, but... bear in mind, these things, like I said, there's hundreds of thousands of these in our body that have been mapped, and they exist. We're just now starting to better understand their medical application. So anti-aging, for sure. Managing allergies, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. I've got a patient that got what's called floxed. She took Cipro a long time ago, and some people react horribly to Cipro. And she's coming in next week. I'm going to be talking to her and her husband about this. She's been dealing with this for a long time now. It's just devastated her. And she has extreme adrenal fatigue because of all the effects. Really tragic. Gastric ulcers, we talked about. Inflammation, inflammatory bowel disease, any kind of inflammatory condition, which most of us suffer from. By the way, a baby aspirin a day is a good idea as long as you don't have any active ulcers. For many reasons, to help fight cancer and minimize the risk for heart disease. Obviously, curcumin is beneficial, Boswellia, moving, getting in the ocean, breathing, relaxing, not stressing out. Can be used to treat and prevent heart arrhythmias. So I've got another patient that I'm thinking about for that. autoimmune diseases, asthma, lupus, Crohn's, etc. Chronic viral or intracellular infections, so things like Lyme disease, which thankfully we don't seem to have here yet, but I've got patients that come here with it, and HIV, so cardiovascular disease, post-surgery, diabetes, leaky gut, H. pylori infections, the list goes on. So got just a little bit of time. I had a patient, or I didn't have this, presenter had a patient, 50-year-old male with chronic severe esophageal pain. He tried everything, minimal relief. And they showed great imaging of his esophagus and the inflammatory process. He took this BPC-157 orally, daily for 4 weeks. And then we did some, or they did some other things to help him with his overall wellness. In 2 weeks follow-up, he demonstrated 100% resolution of esophageal spasm and pain. And if you've ever had esophageal spasm and pain, it's no fun. You don't want to eat. You're miserable, quality of life, on and on. So that's just one clinical example I'm sharing with you. But I think it's time to jump to our guest. And I want to welcome you. This is Dr. Kevin Gibson. I'm speaking with Adita Lang. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So, you know, I had fun reading your history and bio, and I thought, you know, here we are, another superwoman figures it out. And it takes, I think, a lot of intestinal fortitude to really break through a lot of the barriers to wellness and vitality that our society puts in front of us. So I would love to hear about sort of your path. You're a mother of two. You give talks all over the place and write and exercise, fitness guru. Talk to me about, you know, maybe when you were a teenager, what were you like and how did things change?
I was kind of a nerd.
Right on. My daughter went as a Halloween as a nerd. I said, you know, that's a badge of pride. You should know that. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was one of those wimpy kids. I wasn't into sports. I wasn't into any of that. Unfortunately, my mom and I had a lot of challenges. And so at one point, someone recommended that we go take an aerobics class together, but that could be a good mother-daughter bonding type experience. So we go and we take this class. I'm like 16 years old.
Was this in the 80s, like the late 80s or something?
It was.
There you go. That's when that was,
popular. It was actually earlier 80s. Okay. A little earlier 80s, but you know.
I'm trying to make you younger, Adita. Okay.
I know. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm pretty proud of my age.
That's true. If you're healthy, it doesn't matter. You should be proud of it. You're right. Go on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But no. To make a long story short, she didn't like the exercise class. I liked it. And the woman that ran the program said, hey, would you like to teach? But you know what? You're young, and I'm not sure if these older women are going to, like, respect you, but we can try it. Mm-hmm. And this is a time when aerobics really was just starting. We taught barefoot on concrete because we didn't really have aerobic shoes.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I did my best, and I loved it. And by the time I was 18, we had just actually formed the first association for group exercise called IDEA. And I actually got to teach at their first conference. And so here I am, 18 years old, and I've got a class of 500 people. And I was just on my own personal high. I was like, this is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And fortunately from that, it spearheaded my career. I traveled all over the world. And looking back, it's the best thing I ever did. I loved it. I got inspired by so many, and I also had the opportunity to inspire others as well. So it's just been a great, great career for me.
Yeah, I think intelligent fitness ideas were really coming to maturity or starting to mature at that time, understanding, you know, how to exercise properly. And you just came in at the perfect time, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously, you're a dynamo, so you could do it. You had to be. Right.
It's my passion and I love it. So,
all right.
You know,
I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but then I want to kind of go backwards again too. But
okay.
What are you recommending for somebody who is a working mother and, you know, has limited time to get in a fitness routine every day? What's your advice?
Well, here's the thing is that, you know, back in the day when I was first teaching, I kind of screwed everything up, me and my friends did, because I used to tell people, hey, you need to work out 4 times a week. You need to work out for 60 minutes each time. And honestly, when my clients would come back to me and they said, you know what, I only made it 3 times and I only made it for 48 minutes, I'd actually give them grief. And it got to the point where people stopped exercising because they're like, you know what, I don't have 60 minutes, so I'm not going to do this.
Right.
And recently, the American College of Sports Medicine came out and said, oh, no, wait a minute, hold on. You only need between 150 and 300 minutes of activity per week. And they sound like huge numbers, but they're really not. Because activity is anything that increases your heart rate and makes you sweat, and it doesn't have to be consecutive. So nowadays, I'm telling people, hey, why don't you start off like when you're brushing your teeth, do squats and lunges. And then maybe later on somewhere in the afternoon, you do a little bit of a walk, and if you're going to, you know, if you got to vacuum the house, that actually counts as your activity as well. So does gardening. And I started kind of helping people accumulate their minutes doing ordinary things. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they're like, okay, wait a minute, this is doable.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I mean, when my wife says, oh, don't you want to go for a bike ride? I say, I just did yard work for the last 3 hours. I'm exhausted. I've gotten a great workout.
Yeah.
And that's not, and that is part of your- that's not just power tools. That's, you know, that's actually using your body. So,
Good. No, great.
That's, and you're right. There are so many things, little things that people can do. I have women do heel drops. You know, they go up on their toes and then they allow their heel to succuss a little bit, because that's, if they don't have any active fractures or very fragile bones, because it increases bone density. And you're just doing that while you're brushing teeth or doing the dishes or whatever. And like you said, squats and so forth. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So tell me, being in the fitness industry over 30 years, you've and continue to have this sort of drive to inspire. Is it the feedback you get from your clients? Is it, it's just a general love of it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, of course, not all clients love, you know, fitness and, you know, having to change their food plan and all that. But when they start to feel better is when all of a sudden they're like, wow, okay, now I understand what this thing is all about. And when I can actually get them to that place where they're like, okay, this is going to be my new lifestyle, this, I can do this and I feel great, that just makes me feel phenomenal. And I deal a lot. I've always dealt with high risk clients. For whatever reason, it just always seemed to be a little bit more fun for me. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my high risk clients are clients, they're cancer patients, they're diabetes. And so they got to make some really hard choices when it comes to what they're going to eat and how they're going to exercise and move. And, you know, sometimes we have to have like a pretty serious talk to say, how bad do you want it?
Right.
But when I can say the words, whatever it might be, that really helps them change, it's like, yes, I did it. This is cool. You know, and that makes a huge difference.
Do you believe in the 21-day habit rule? I mean, do you see that? Or what point is there a sort of a breaking point for people where they really own it and say, this is going to be me?
You know, I've always used the 21-day habit rule. And at a workshop I taught not too long ago, somebody kind of, you know, countered me on it because they're like, you know, statistically, it's, you know, that doesn't really work that way. And I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's just giving someone an end game.
Yeah.
To me, it could be 22 days as far as I'm concerned. It's just giving them an end game and saying, look, just stick to this for this. And if you think about it, the first week, okay, it's kind of difficult. I'm not really into it. The second week, you kind of, okay, you know what? I can do this. I'm better. I kind of know what's going to happen now. And by the third week, you're like, okay, this is I can totally do this. It's part of my day-to-day routine. So it just makes it easy that way. So yeah, I've always used a 21-day rule. And for most of my clients, it's worked because I'm just trying to give them an end game. They see an ending point. They can say, okay, I can sacrifice myself from here to there. And then what ends up occurring is somewhere in between, they'll realize, oh, I guess it's not really a sacrifice. I feel better.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll
it's
keep
a win.
Doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a win.
So the typical patient would probably have some sleep deficiencies, maybe poor nutrient intake, maybe thyroid or adrenal deficiencies, gastrointestinal, you know, whatever. There's so many different variables. And, In terms of those that are saying, well, God, you know, I just can't get moving in the day, so I have my coffee and I do different things, and or I drink my Diet Coke in the afternoon. I mean, all these, there are various things. What's your general advice in that realm, and how do you feel about caffeine?
Well, here's the thing, is that when someone says to me, I need a cup of coffee,
right,
they're addicted.
Right.
If you just want one because you like that warm cup in your hand, that's a whole different story. But if you need it, then we've got some addiction problems. Typically what happens is between the caffeine and the sugars of our day, and the sugars of our day are not just traditional sugar, it's sugar, flour, dairy, and alcohol. So those things all metabolize in our body as a sugar and gives us a false sense of energy, as does the caffeine does. So what the average person tends to do is, it's kind of like a drug addict. They keep adding these things into their diet because they're starting to fall off their high. So like a client of mine the other day that I met with, she has a cup of coffee with cream sugar, a piece of toast with jam and juice every morning for breakfast.
So by the time she gets to,
it is. And so by the time she gets to the office, someone will say, hey, would you like a bagel?
Yeah.
And she's not hungry, but it seems appealing, and it's appealing because she's coming off the high.
Right.
And she needs another pick-me-up. So then she does that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I can get people to realize that, hey, choose your sugar. So if you want to have coffee with cream and sugar in the morning, that's great. But then have that with a good quality protein and a good quality fat so that those that sense of energy isn't thrown at you. It's kind of like rationed to you in a slower manner.
Right. As you have a slow breakdown energy release, that's excellent advice. That's pretty much what I say. And people just need to understand that. That gal that you were talking about, she's probably diabetic or pre-diabetic, certainly.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And I'm not even going to tell you what she eats for the rest of the day. We've been kind of, you know, we've like toned all that stuff down. But I'm when I talked, and I actually just spoke to a lady just now where she was like, you know, I don't want to give up my wine. And I'm like, that's fine. If you know that you're going to have wine at dinner, well, then eat a good quality protein and good quality fat for dinner. Mm-hmm. Don't have it with pasta and bread.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Balance. Balance.
Yeah.
Good. You're a realist. I like that. I don't like absolutes. You know, people, you need to work with them and ease them along, hold their hand through it, right?
Oh, of course. And, you know, you have to work with you know, we tend to have our food choices because of cultural and because of our family, of what we've learned. You know, I always say that as human beings, we don't have an instruction manual with a troubleshooting guide in the back. We're just kind of going along with what we know. And so with that, we have to kind of take some of those things into consideration when we're trying to figure out what the ideal plan is for somebody.
Yeah, and that's a really key component is what they're coming to the table with. Adita, I want to get back to that right after these breaks. Please stay with us, listeners. We're with Adita Lange, author of Superwoman, A Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness. We all want that. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grass, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.
Hey, hon, dinner's almost ready.
Hey, let me out of here. Hey, what about using me, Thermi? You need a food thermometer to be safe.
Yeah, what about Thermi?
Oh, honey, I know by the color when it's done.
Colors can be wrong. People could get sick. Hamburgers that look done sometimes aren't cooked enough.
We learned it at school.
All right. Remember, it's safe to bite when the temperature is right.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just two capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals six capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to AM 690, the Dr. Health Radio Program. Again, this will replay from 9 to 11 this evening. We're speaking with Adita Lange. She is a fitness guru and health, would you call yourself a coach, health coach? I certainly think you are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
holistic
basic.
Holistic lifestyle coach.
You know, I would say you're, health coach, there's a bazillion health coaches out there now, And I think a lot of them maybe just took an online course or something. And correct. And so I'm a little hesitant, but my point is you're very different. I think I worry that that field is going to get diluted with people that are just hanging a shingle but don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing, but yes.
Yeah, but on the other hand, the word of mouth spreads and good people find good people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how are you helping? How do people find you? Do you do, I mean, in today's world, do you do like online consults or how do you
manage? I do online, Skype, Facebook, through my website, which is aditalang.com, aditalang.com.
All right, let's
say
that
again. Everything about me there.
Adita, I'm going to spell that again just so I make sure everybody gets
okay.
it. aditalang.com. Just yeah. lowercase is fine?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great. All right, good to know. Good to know. So people can get in touch with you that way. And then your book through the website, I guess, as well?
Correct, absolutely. And it's also available on Amazon and barnesandnobles.com.
Okay, good. So, you know, obviously this can apply to men just as well as women, everything you're saying. I mean, unless we're dealing with perimenopausal or you know, menses disorders, pretty much everything you're
correct.
Saying applies to men. I'm sure you'd be happy to give consults to men as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Or couples would be even better.
No, actually, when it comes to health and fitness, it's better to keep them separate.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, because otherwise it's almost like they're looking at each other like with scant eye, like, well, I already do that. What's wrong with you? You know?
Yeah.
And so you talked about, you know, eating a proper breakfast, you know, getting a healthy protein, fat, and balancing that with any carbs and coffee and so forth. Are you having people do diet diaries and modifying their diet with them, or how do you work with that?
Yeah, I am everything that I do is food-based nutrition,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that if you really educate people about the consequences of their food choices, then they can make better choices. So I know, I'm not one to put someone on a diet that says you need to eat this at you know noon and this at lunchtime, you know, for snack. Or I don't do that. What I do is I teach them to write out their food log, and I use a marker system of using these three different highlighters, so that they could actually start to see the amount of sugars that they're putting in their day to day. And if there are fruits and vegetables where they need to go and where the proteins are, and then they can start to kind of modify and play with it from there. To me, a good food plan is kind of like a work of art. You kind of like, you do it and you look at it for a little bit and then you tweak it here and you tweak it there until all of a sudden you get a plan that you're like, you know what, this works. Because at the end of the day too, is we all break down and metabolize foods completely differently. So a diet that might work for you
right.
might make me feel sleepy and, you know, get chunky. So we have to kind of learn to listen to our bodies and start to make the modifications little by little until we find just the right proportions that work for our personal, you know, energy level and load of our day.
I like that. I mean, a lot of folks, I mean, over the years I've used blood type diet and I've done food allergy testing and elimination diets and on and on. And, you know, ultimately it's very subjective. It's up to the individual to figure out what works. You can guide them, but none of these tests are perfect. And I think what I found, at least for those of European descent, we tend to be such mutts that the blood type diet doesn't necessarily, it's a guide, but it's not a definitive. I have had some patients, because I'm in Hawaii, I've got a lot of pure, you know, Filipino or Japanese or whatever, and I think it works better sometimes for them. I don't know if you've had any experience with that.
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
but
it's
I
like your approach, Adita, is basically what I'm saying, because you are listening, you're allowing them to figure out, okay, yeah, when I eat that loaf of bread, I feel very inflamed or bloated or whatever. Well, let's get rid of that, you know. So, and that ultimately is the best way to go. Sometimes people want data, though, so we do some of those tests, but they're not always the best choice. So, you know, when you talk about overall wellness and health, you know, obviously things like exercise, diet, what are your other pillars? Sleep, maybe?
Well, I have four pillars. So it's the exercise and movement, the food and nutrition, the sleep and relaxation, and happiness.
Ah, I like the last one.
And you have to have them all combined. You have to be able to balance them all, because you could be a real, I've seen trainers, they're so fit. They eat horrible.
Right.
They don't sleep, and they're a little cranky.
Right.
Well, that's not a healthy person.
Exactly.
They might look good, but they're not really healthy through and through. So
so
when I teach health, those four pillars are really important to me to help somebody really manage those.
Yeah, I think that's critical. And those four will provide long-term vitality too. The young person who's a fitness trainer, who's very active and eats poorly, ultimately it'll catch up with them. And
absolutely.
But you can get away with it. I mean, I was a good example before I got into, you know, medicine. I ate pretty much whatever I wanted. I mean, I was smart about it. I ate whole foods, but I also ate a lot of things that were high carbohydrate, but I got away with it. But eventually that catches up to you. So you got to you got to have some wisdom there. And the happiness, you know, that's very, let's see, Bhutan, right? The gross national happiness, that's how they measure, right? So I think that's certainly overlooked. And in terms of happiness, you know, you're talking about people doing things that give them passion, that make them feel valuable in society. Do you consult with your folks about these things too? Because a lot of people end up with dead-end jobs that they hate. They do it for the money.
I absolutely do, because, you know, at the end of the day, you got to be happy. Like, one of the questions I ask people, like, all the time, I'm like, when was the last time you laughed so hard that you couldn't stop laughing and you were crying?
That's good.
And people look at me like, what?
Yeah.
Statistically, a child will laugh 400 times a day. Your average adult will only laugh 15.
Wow.
And every time we laugh, we get those endorphins in.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's like our happy pill. That's like, that is bringing us good, clean, healthful energy into our bodies when we do that. And so it's, and it's such an easy thing, but we have to put ourselves in a place to really be able to accept that and to be able to laugh and feel good about ourselves and feel good about what we're doing in our life. Because it's, if not, it's not worth it.
Yeah. And today's world, there's so much heavy information. We really need to find those places. So that's really, really good advice. Adita, I am delighted. It was short, but I'm delighted to have you on the air. I feel uplifted and motivated just talking to you.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to check out your website a little bit more and then share it with my patients. So again, it's
great. Thank you.
Adita Lang, AditaLang.com. And her book is Superpowers, A Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness. Thank you so much for being on the planet.
Thank you for having me on the show.
All right.
Take
Aloha.
Care.
Aloha. Bye.
Do you sometimes suffer from gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, or irritable bowel syndrome? You need to know about the Friendly Foursome. Master Supplements, the leaders in safe and effective intestinal health products, offer four supplements that may reinvent your intestinal tract. First, there's Theralac, America's fastest-acting medical-strength probiotic. Find out why Theralac's regular customers become, well, regular customers. Just go to theralac.com for more information. Then there's True Fiber, clinically proven to improve regularity as well as lowering cholesterol. True Fiber is also uniquely formulated to stimulate probiotics. Third in the Friendly Foursome is Enzylase, the strongest enzyme available. With high potencies of 12 different digestive enzymes, Enzylase makes short work of fatty meals and dairy products, as well as normally gas-producing foods such as beans. Finally, there's True Flora, the fastest-acting bio-cleansing probiotic. True Flora is so potent, the recommended dose is only 2 per week. This is the premier traveler's supplement. Don't go on a trip without taking True Flora. See the Friendly Foursome of Master Supplement products at your favorite natural food store. Theralac, True Fiber, Enzylase, and True Flora for the best intestinal health of your life.
You're listening to Dr. Health Radio, Hawaii's original health news magazine, now in its 28th year. To listen to past shows, just go to the podcast section of our website, drhealthradio.com. That's D-O-C-T-O-R, healthradio.com. Now, back to David Snow on the healthiest 2 hours on radio.
At 63, this year's Sports Illustrated cover model Christie Brinkley looks as beautiful, youthful, and healthy as ever. Her secret? Regain lost collagen. Add new collagen. Protect your existing collagen. Christy knows that after the age of 21, our natural collagen production slows by 1% per year. By age 30, the signs become visible. That's why her number one beauty supplement is Biosil Hair, Skin, Nails, the clinically proven advanced collagen generator and protector. Unlike the collagen pills and powders that your body breaks down and simply uses as a food source, Biosil from Natural Factors activates your body's own collagen-generating enzymes. In fact, clinical trials prove that Biosil reduces fine lines and wrinkles by 30%, increases skin elasticity by 89%, thickens and strengthens hair by 13%, and dramatically strengthens nails. So when you want to look beautiful, youthful, and healthy like Christy, choose Biosil, the clinically proven advanced collagen generator. To learn more, visit BiosilUSA.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to AM 690, Dr. Health Radio Program. I'm Dr. Kevin Gibson. And we are very fortunate to have in our next short half hour, Dr. Nicole Kelly. She's a medical doctor who I think has learned through the road of hard knocks, to say the least, that there aren't always nice people out there. And you got to have your guard up and you have to learn to identify and work with and support those who are sociopaths, psychopaths, etc. Dr. Kelly, I can't do a good job of describing where you've been and what you've gone through. I would appreciate your input and welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Yes, actually, I suffered at the hands of a sociopath who actually turned out to be a sociopathic sex addict as well. She embezzled over $700,000 from my medical practice. While she did this, she was on a cheater's website, dating five different Wow. married men at the same time. None of them knew about each other, including her husband. I tried to sue her and was told basically that she would declare bankruptcy. It would be six figures before I got to the end of the lawsuit, that I would win, but it would be a hollow victory. So I wrote a book instead.
Well done. You know, my sister who runs has an art gallery up in Seattle, she had somebody embezzle from her quite a bit of money. And unfortunately, I think it's scarily common. I'm not sure what's happened to our society. I think we've always had people like this, but I feel like they're growing. Feels like every time you turn on the news, there's somebody that suffers from one of these ailments. Tell me about what you've learned from there and how you're applying your sort of medical knowledge towards helping people with these. You're not a psychiatrist, are you? Are you a psychiatrist?
No, I'm actually a hospice geriatrician.
I
don't want to be talking about end of life and geriatrics.
Yeah. Wow, cool.
But, my favorite part is always talking to the families and talking to the patients. Mm-hmm. So that's how I wasn't paying enough attention to the business side. But
you were practicing medicine. I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're actually quite common. So at least 1 in 25 people fall on the sociopath spectrum. So that means that most of us run into one every single day, and yet we don't even know it.
Yeah. No, I can identify quite a few people right now that I know that I think might fall into these categories. So give us some hints. So give us some behaviors that you would say, okay, these are red flags. Get your antennae up.
Yeah, for sure. I have developed a sociopath spotting tool that's free on my website, NicoleKellyMD.com. And the 20-letter acronym is Glimpse Behind the Mask, which tells you the 20 most common character traits. Because if we understand the character traits and start noticing those character traits, it's not that we're trying to make a diagnosis or even put a label on someone, but if you meet an individual who has lots of these character traits, you need to beware. You need to alter how you interact with this person.
Mm-hmm.
So sociopaths, psychopaths are on the same spectrum. Psychopaths are the ones that we usually think of that Hollywood glamorizes, like the Hannibal Lecters, the serial killers, that sort of thing. They're often more violent. They're more likely to be in jail. The sociopaths are more likely to be, you know, heads of state or heads of companies.
Mm-hmm.
The main common factor is that they don't have empathy or a conscience. That is the defining factor.
Right, exactly, yeah. So do you think, I mean, just I always look at these really children and think that their childhood abuse, they were bullied, they were, you know, something caused them to create a grand ego perhaps or a very hurt soul. Do you have any sense of that?
Well, I'm so sure it actually, that's a very interesting point. So, I mean, often in medical science, the question of whether nature versus nurture, mm-hmm. were you born with it or did your environment create it? And as is often the case in medicine, it's a bit of both. So sociopaths and psychopaths are born with a genetic predisposition to be who they are. Then the environment can determine how much the genes are expressed. So the thinking is that sociopaths, because of the environment, do not go as far on the spectrum, perhaps, than the psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes if they've had abuse, depending on the environment, there are actually nutritional factors that can contribute as well, can determine how much the genes are expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Although some of them had perfectly wonderful childhoods, and this is just the way they were born and the way they turn out. A lot of times people blame the parents, like bullies. Bullies are often budding sociopaths and psychopaths,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way they're made. Everyone's blaming the parents, but in reality, these children have a genetic predisposition to be that way.
Do you think there might be some hormonal disconnect? I mean, nutritionally, I agree with you, but certainly an aggressive hormone like testosterone might have
it's
a higher...
It's been found to be increased in sociopaths and psychopaths,
is it?
Both male and female. Males are more likely. There's a 3-to-1 ratio male to female. But in both male and female sociopaths and psychopaths, there's higher testosterone.
Yeah, I often tell my peri and postmenopausal women that, you know, you now have a higher proportion of testosterone versus estrogen, progesterone, and therefore you're more likely to, you know, start up the nonprofit or, you know, be chair of some board or do your behavior might shift a little bit from being a mom towards mm-hmm. more, you know, I guess what we would, you know, say more of a direct, I don't know what the right term is, but do you believe that?
Well, I mean, you definitely see that. It's actually interesting you bring that up. So it's been found in psychopaths in particular that oftentimes over 40, when the testosterone, this is in male psychopaths,
mm-hmm.
they tend to be less aggressive. They mm-hmm. end up in jail less often.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but, you know, and it never completely goes away. It's not like they become angels. And then in women, it's often true that after menopause, instead of giving to everybody else, it becomes like, wait, what have I been doing all this time? I need to think about what I want and what I need.
So out of these 1 in 25, most of them are, you know, functioning what would somebody would say is normally in society. It's not really normal, but they're able to get away with it, oftentimes stepping on others as they do it. You know, I would think some of those that do need mental health and or maybe seek it, obviously it would be beneficial to do sort of a diagnostic lab workup on some of these folks, too, to maybe help them.
Well, what's interesting about sociopaths and psychopaths is they very, very rarely seek therapy.
Yeah.
The only time that they actually seek help is when they're required to by law.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that goes with sociopathy is narcissism. So every sociopath is a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
Not every narcissist is a sociopath.
Mm.
It depends whether they have empathy or a conscience.
Mm.
But sociopaths and psychopaths have a superiority complex. So they really don't feel like a therapist could help them. In fact, they found that when sociopaths go to therapy, they actually get worse because they use, especially group therapies, they use the therapy as sort of a training ground for how to manipulate people better.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yep.
So do you think a narcissist can be empathetic?
Yes.
Okay.
There definitely are narcissists who are upset about the fact that they alienate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The sociopath doesn't really care. They're like, well, if you don't like me, you don't have an insight. But a narcissist is actually like, why does everybody, why do I keep driving everybody away?
Mm-hmm.
And they actually will sometimes seek therapy to figure out how can I change what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. Not the sociopaths. They think that's everybody else's problem.
Do you think that the head of many of these tech companies, I mean, certainly some of these fall into these categories, I would think, based on the news they've been making.
Silicon Valley is known for
it's kind of filled
lots and lots of sociopaths.
Yeah, so
politics.
But some of them
both
go on to do...
Democrats, Republicans, both.
You're right. But some of them also go on to do some pretty moral things, you know, fundraising, or I mean, charity.
And that's actually part of the mask. I mean, they realize that putting on the, that most people do value empathy, doing charitable works, and, you know, but it still doesn't go to the heart of the matter as to whether they actually have a conscience or empathy.
Mm-hmm.
They can do many things that we would think are good, but why are they doing it?
Yeah, what's the real... Yeah, it's like the person who donates because they want to have their name in the news versus the person who donates anonymously.
Exactly.
That's kind of the key, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. So how do you think... You know, I mean, if everybody listened to you speak, and thanks, listeners, for being out there, because you can all help in us identifying these folks and not allowing them to stomp on you or your loved ones... you know, how do we as a society, and do you think this has gotten worse as a result of our societal norms and whatever?
That's a very interesting point, too. So
you know
there
what?
Are a lot
and
more sociopaths.
Dr. Kelly, I'm going to stop. I apologize. I'm going to interrupt you right there because I just realized that we need to take a break because I really want to get into this and I don't want to be broken after that. Please stay with us. We're listening to Dr. Nicole Kelly, and we're talking about sociopaths, psychopaths, sexopaths, how you can identify them, how you can protect yourself, and stay healthy. We'll be back after these brief messages. Thank you.
Researchers at a medical conference in Scotland report skin cancer deaths among men have soared in wealthy nations since 1985. More than 90% of melanoma cancers are caused by skin cell damage from exposure to the sun and other UV radiation like tanning beds, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. In 8 of 18 countries examined, men's skin cancer death rates increased over 3 decades by at least 50%. A significant proportion of the population is grappling with a new and controversial disorder, compulsive sexual behavior. And it's not just men, as a surprising number of women say they have trouble controlling their urges. Of thousands of U.S. adults surveyed in this study, 10% of men and 7% of women are said to have compulsive sexual behavior disorder, the inability to control intense, repetitive urges and feelings. Research at the University of Pennsylvania connects the use of Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram to decreased well-being. Findings published in the Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology. Few prior studies have attempted to show social media use harms users' well-being, and those have put participants in unrealistic situations. This was said to be a much more comprehensive study. I'm Dick Allgaier. That's this week's Health Report.
Do you own a dog or a cat? Then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic Noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is that there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you five dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor-formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
Welcome back. We're listening to Dr. Health Radio, show where we play tonight from 9 to 11, and we have on the air, fortunate to have Dr. Nicole Kelly, who is a specialist and will consult with you, I presume, or how do you make yourself available to the general public if they're interested in more?
Yeah, absolutely. On my website, www.NicoleKellyMD.com. Anybody can reach out to me and get more information or ask any questions.
Okay. Or if you're traveling to Nashville to listen to some music and enjoy the beauty.
That's right.
We can look
music
you up
City.
There, too. Right. I don't hear any twang in your voice at all.
That's good.
I'm sorry. I like it. Your voice is nice, but I like to hear the southern twang sometimes, too. So we were talking about the changes in society and you know, what do you think some of these drivers are and how can we identify them to help our kids and adolescents and young adults to avoid these pathways?
Well, actually, it turns out that there are a lot more sociopaths and psychopaths in Western society than in Eastern society. That one of the biggest environmental causes of the expression of the genes is the environment in which you're raised. So in Western society, I mean, being self-serving, you know, stepping on others to get ahead, things like that actually work well in Western society. They mm-hmm. get you ahead in business. They get you ahead in politics. Whereas in Eastern society, stepping on the backs of others is considered, you know, not polite at least.
Right.
They're much more about the group, the family. So because of the different environment, so in a lot of ways, that's kind of a distressing factor that in Western society, it doesn't matter what the parents do. The child with a genetic predisposition is much more likely to express it regardless.
Because they're awarded for it.
Right. So once you reach adulthood, it's set. I mean, there really is no cure. There have been, if you notice in childhood and get them to a specialist and someone who knows, you know, what's going on with this, that you can help develop the empathy pathways, and they still don't grow up to be angels, but they can at least potentially be productive members of society.
But if a parent recognizes some of this behavior early on, then they could at least steer the child towards empathetic activities and keep them away
from it. Well, do it with a professional, because these children are very, very manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
And they know how to prey on the parents, you know, guilt and vulnerabilities to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They actually can destroy an entire family. So it is so important that if you see any of this, find a specialist early on to get help in stopping changing the behavior.
So that would be a very I mean, honestly, I there's a lot of great psychologists and psychiatrists out there, but also I would say a lot that probably aren't well equipped to work with this kind of behavior. Are there any guideline or any sort of associations or anything that you would say, well, try to find somebody that's affiliated with this association because they have specialized training that can help you?
There's actually a really good book that was written. I mean, it's actually 20 years old now, but he is one of the greatest authorities in the field of children with these tendencies. Mm-hmm. His name is Stanton Samenow, and his book is called Before It's Too Late, Why Some Kids Get Into Trouble and What Parents Can Do About It. It was actually written in 1998, but it is one of the best books I've ever come across of helping the parents not only see how they can change their own behavior, but to actually understand the thought processes of their children who have this genetic predisposition.
Say the title of that book again, please.
It is...
The Something Too Late?
Before It's Too Late.
Oh, Before It's Too Late.
Why Some Kids Get Into Trouble and What Parents Can Do About It.
Okay, Before It's Too Late. Got it. Okay, that's helpful.
Name is
Thank
Samenow. Samenow. Samenow.
Okay, wow. Yeah, great. That, you know, I mean, that's these problems have been around for a long time. It's not like this is something new.
Absolutely.
But
I mean, in olden times, I mean, in the tribal society, that's why there's a possible nutritional component. When there weren't a lot of resources, nutrition wasn't adequate, mm-hmm. then these genes are expressed more because you want the warrior. You want the person who has no ethics and will go and, you know, kill the bear, kill the other tribe to get resources.
Yeah, the
it
alpha.
It kind of makes sense, find tribal. Right, exactly.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, if we look back to our ancestors and how they had to survive, a lot of these things make sense. But especially today with social media, you get all the bullying and so forth. And I had a patient recently. The mom came in. Her daughter got kicked out of school. She had ended up in some bad behavior because of bullying. And the poor parent was doing everything she could to stop social media and take away her phone and do all these things. But the kid would still be bullied on her friends' phones. And it just went on. And it was in an affluent community, and this goes on all the time. And social media certainly makes all this worse.
Right, absolutely. But I think if people understand that there's potentially a genetic disorder where some people don't have empathy or a conscience, to understand that may be the underlying factor going on behind the bullying, then it can change how we approach it.
So do you think
one really important thing
go ahead. Sorry.
About sociopaths and psychopaths is that they're pathological liars. They put on a different mask for different people in different situations to serve their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But their biggest Achilles heel is they can't tell the same lie to everyone. So if the empathetic majority talk to each other, we can expose their lies.
Right. Yeah, it's very difficult for somebody to keep. I mean, they're very good. There might be some sort of an increased intelligence in the lying realm to do that. But
they could be lie detectors.
Right.
Because they don't get anxious about it. They have decreased fear, decreased anxiety, decreased worry.
Yeah, so
it's because their brains are different.
Yeah.
And they've done imaging studies, and the connections in their brains are not like ours. Mm. It's not that they don't want to be empathetic. It's not that they don't want to have a conscience. It's that they're incapable. And they think they're better for it. They think we're weaker because we have deeper emotions, conscience, and empathy.
Right. It's the Voldemorts of the world. So
it is, totally.
Yeah. So with the genetic, you know, like 23andMe and the different genetic, you can get into some great detail. Is any of that accessible? Like if you thought your kid had a tendency towards that, you'd say, hey, let's do a little buccal swab here and send in to see if you have that gene.
Well, there are multiple different genes.
Yeah.
So having one doesn't necessarily mean it. I mean, there are several different ones, one being like the warrior gene, which mm-hmm. is more common in men. But there are a whole bunch of different ones, so just getting the DNA wouldn't particularly do it.
Shucks.
Yep.
Looking for the
Although,
easy diagnosis.
Imaging studies potentially could. I mean, it's not 100% diagnostic, but they understand words differently.
Hmm.
Like for, you know, you and I, when we see words like cancer or rape or something like that, we have an emotional response to those words. Sociopaths and psychopaths don't. To them, those words are the same as curtain or floor.
Hmm.
There is no emotional, they're missing that connection in their brain, that empathy, emotional connection to words and to people.
So there could be theoretically a a test that could be implemented in the schools very subtly with some kind of word association that could help identify
images. You'd have to have them hooked up to EEGs. But.
Well, I was thinking about like just word association and you know, or describing a scene and that says, how does this make you feel? A, B, C, D, you know? And I agree with you, doing a brain spec scan or something like that, whatever the imaging is, would be ideal. But I would think that, you know, you could kind of tease out some of those.
So part of the issue with, there's a really good test that's been validated called the PPI that has a whole bunch of questions that you can use to find it. I mean, part of the issue with surveys like that is that they lie. They're pathological liars.
So they've learned
what you're supposed to answer.
Yeah.
But they put in questions that kind of sneak around that. So,
I hear you.
How honest they are when they take the test, you can do that.
So this, on the Dick Allgaier report that I heard on the little break there, he said 10% of men and 7% of women have sexual deviation. Can't control their pathways, their urges. Is that kind of statistic line up with what you've read? That's scarily high.
No, it sounds about right.
Is that right?
Definitely what, yep. I mean, sociopaths and psychopaths in general have very high addictions.
Mm-hmm.
They hate to be bored. I mean, really, most of us with empathy, we spend so much of our time thinking about, have we done enough? You know, mm-hmm. How is our family? Do they like us? They don't think about that. So they're bored.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be very reckless. And to feel this kind of emptiness they have, I mean, they don't have connections with other human beings. I mean, it's kind of sad. They'll turn to alcohol and drugs and sex and, you know, anything else to kind of fill that void.
Yeah, that might have a lot to do with our crack and so forth addictions as well.
Right.
Gosh, tragic. but thank you for educating us, and I would encourage those who want to learn more, do go to Dr. Kelly's website, again, NicoleKellyMD.com, spelled as it sounds, and
and check out my new book, Charming Cheaters,
Protect
Yourself from the Sociopaths, Psychopaths, and Sexopaths in Your Life, and for your listening audience, if they buy the book and then send a comment to me on my website with the time and date that they purchased the book, then I will give them a free download link to my novel, 69 Shades, which is actually narrated by a sociopathic sex addict. You actually get to inside her brain to understand how she truly...
Sorry.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.